Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Wait, stop.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Rise and shining. Wakey, waking.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you.
And you.
And you.
Robert Scott Bell. You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The FDA is about to get a lot more muscle.
More money and more power.
Sweeping new powers.
The most sweeping overhaul of the nation's food safety laws since the 1930s.
Robert Scott Bell.
If you like the efficiency of the post office, the competence of FEMA, and the compassion of the IRS, we will love the nationalized health care bill.
Robert Scott Bell.
The British Medical Journal accused a researcher, Andrew Wakefield, of outright fraud.
People need to look at the details and not look at the headlines.
This is like Salem, the visceral response that they're trying to whip up in the public to try and crush this dissent.
Enough is enough.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
We finally found the solution to the collapse of Social Security and Medicare. Those old people that are dependent upon these systems, including Medicaid, now have a solution. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, acknowledging the loss of Steve Jobs, the visionary, the genius from Apple Computers, passed away last night, according to reports from Apple. And here's a guy who really did have quite an impact on the planet and changed technology. Maybe some would say for the better, some would say for the worse, but for what it's worth, he was one of those that did impact the world. Pancreatic cancer, had a liver transplant. This should tell you, what did he die, 55, 56 years of age? This should tell you that even if you're the wealthiest man in the world or the head of the wealthiest corporation on planet Earth, it's not enough to save your physical body from eventual termination. And in Jobs' case, having pancreatic cancer, there are a lot of questions that I could ask about his diet and lifestyle. I don't have the insight into it. I've not really looked into the man's lifestyle to know what happened. But certainly, if he was on, let's say, immune suppressant drugs, which they usually are, they call those anti-rejection drugs after he had his liver transplant. Typically, they put you on that for life. Inevitably, you're likely going to suffer with other problems, maybe even more cancer, in fact. And just acknowledge to his friends and family the loss of a man that did impact a lot of people on the planet. Steve Jobs dead at age 56 and on to maybe even better things. Now, we got a lot to do today on the show, robertscottbell.com. If you're curious as to where we're going or where we've been, if you get the email alerts through naturalnewsradio.com, that is fantastic. We've got some interesting things we're going to be doing next hour. I will warn you not to listen to next hour because it's going to be very dangerous to your hearing. Not because it's loud, but because it's going to be very challenging, the subject matter. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, we've got the solution to the collapse of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Robert, go ahead, tell me, what is it? What is it? Well, it was found out covering this story on ABC. They didn't cover it this way. But the report says drug dealers are now tapping Ohio seniors for pills. That's right. The old people that are getting the pills for free through Medicaid or severely subsidized pills to Big Pharma and from Big Pharma, from Medicare, the prescription drug, no drug left behind, the Prescription Drug Act of George Bush. Well, it looks like the seniors have too many pills to take themselves. So guess what? The drug dealers are hitting up the nursing homes now. That's right. The state says drug dealers around Ohio are developing new sources for prescription painkillers by buying them. I'm sorry. I know it's not funny. Buying them from senior citizens, sometimes right as the patients leave the pharmacies. Hey, old man, come over here. You want? No, I'm not selling you anything. I'd like to buy something from you. Do you have some oxycodone I can buy? Yeah. Well, how much do you get from Social Security each month? Oh, I'll double it. Yeah, just for that, a few pills. Right. Great. The report by the Ohio Substance Abuse Monitoring Network also blames the state's continuing rise of heroin use on addicts switching from prescription painkillers, which are more expensive and harder to obtain. So now those that are addicted to prescription drugs are switching back to heroin because they can't afford the prescription drugs. I think the old people are getting smart here with the drug dealers. Yeah, you want this drug? Yeah, I know you're a drug pusher. I'm an old man. I know I can't defend myself, but it's going to cost you a little bit more. I've got four other drug dealers set to meet me up out in the parking lot outside this Walmart here. What do you want from me? Leave me alone. You're not paying me enough for this. Orman Hall. I mean, this is an amazing thing. This director of Ohio, they don't get this. They're switching to heroin. The report to be released this week cites reports from Dayton, Youngstown, and Toledo of drug dealers buying painkillers from seniors who often need the money to make ends meet. That's it. We've got the solution. We don't need pharmaceutical drug reps anymore. Big Pharma's got old people. You got them hooked and now they're bankrupt. The system can't pay enough for their livelihood, a so-called living wage. Social Security was a hoax. It's the only place where I sort of agree with Rick Perry, although I think he said it to score political points. I don't know that he has a believable bone in his body other than his allegiance to Merck. But in reality, now the old people, all they have to do is sell the drugs that they get prescribed by the pharmaceutical minions licensed by the state. Those are called medical doctors. And they prescribe to old people to ease their pain from being, what, old and unable to pay their bills. Because they bought into the lie that Social Security would save them, that if it wasn't for Social Security, they would have nothing in old age. Of course, the payment that they're getting, even if it's what was promised, can purchase them so much less. Why, Robert? Why can it purchase them so much less? Can you call inflation inflation? Do you know what that is? It's an increase in the money supply and a reduction of the value, however artificial it is, of each Federal Reserve note held or transferred or paid to a senior citizen. The report says that some dealers are even driving seniors. This is it. Look, the seniors are now getting free chauffeured limousine service from drug dealers. They're even being driven to doctor's offices and pharmacies as long as they agree to sell the pills to the street dealers to get these people out on the streets hooked on FDA approved pharmaceutical drugs. Isn't this lovely? This is what it's come down to. We've turned our wizened senior citizens into drug addicts. And even that isn't enough to keep them hooked because they're so poor, they have to sell those drugs to drug dealers to get them transferred to other drug addicts. And Big Pharma's smiling all the way to the bank because, as you heard yesterday, you learned what Medicaid was, didn't you? Did you hear yesterday's show? We talked about this with Liam. Yeah, Medicaid is a slush fund for the pharmaceutical industrial complex, particularly AIDS drugs, which are highly profitable, very expensive, and still under patent protection, which is why it can cost people on AIDS drugs anywhere from $1,000 to $20,000 a month. That who has? Even Steve Jobs might have balked at that with all the money he had, and all the money he had didn't save him from the failure of modern medicine. Oh, okay, yes, they gave him a new liver, which let him, well, a used liver, which let him live a few more years. Great that he could get on the list and get one. But how did he wear out his liver? What did he do? Again, we'll never know. He was very private about that. If you have a tip or idea or insight into what caused Steve Jobs' ultimate demise, or even prior to that, the initial disease that caused him to have to get a liver transplant to even be alive until yesterday, I would be curious to know at 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. I'm shocked here. And you know what? The ultra-lib Uber left will say, well, you know, this is what seniors have to do to get by. We need to give them more drugs. See, we're going to include in the Prescription Drug Act now, which, by the way, was Bush's, idea, I guess, or he signed it in. It was his baby. Now they're going to say, well, we've got to put the Prescription Drug Coverage Act on steroids because just to get by, we're happy these seniors have become innovative because now they can actually get by every month. But we're going to have to increase their prescription rates so that they can afford to take their drugs as well as sell their drugs. Do you see how the solution is, Big Pharma? I was wrong. Robert Scott Bell was wrong. He's man enough to admit it. Big Pharma is here to save us. It's here to save old people. It's here to save Social Security. It's here to save Medicare and Medicaid. How wrong could I have been? Will you ever accept my apologies for goofing so badly on such an important issue? Of course, we could opt for freedom. We could opt to end the Med. We could opt to end the medical monopoly. But no, how will seniors get by if they can't sell drugs, Robert? Come on, you're being cruel. Am I? There are a series of videos now available, and I have them linked up all my friends on Facebook, and I tweeted them out as well through Twitter. My Twitter name, by the way, is RS Bell Media, if you're not following my Twitter feed. Of course, on Facebook, I still have room for friends. Yes, I'm a small fry in the big media world, but we are growing here along with Natural News and naturalnewsradio.com. And I am grateful for everybody chiming in and spreading the word on health, freedom, and liberty, because this is the place it lives in media. Now, the videos I'm talking about are up there at iHealthTube.com. It's kind of a competing YouTube, and they're doing health-focused things as well. I'll give them their props because they've got a lot of good content up there. They asked me to come up and interview me on a number of topics. I went into depth on some issues regarding silver, and then went into Codex Alimentarius, health, freedom, flu shots. I even took on the perspective on apple juice and arsenic, even mentioned Dr. Mehmet Oz. Oh, no, am I going to be in trouble for that? Well, you got to check them out. And I've got the links up at the blog at robertscottbell.com if you want to learn more about the things that I do in the spare time that I don't have, where I continue to dedicate my life to health, freedom, and liberty here for the benefit of all those who capture the message, if you will, and apply it in their own lives. Catch it and do with it what you will, because that is the freedom you have, although your government would not like you to have that freedom. And how long will it be before, whether this president or the next, targets those who love liberty for elimination, for assassination, because seemingly the majority, the vocal majority evidently, went gaga, goo-goo over Obama sending drones into Yemen to eliminate some bad men who happened to be American citizens. It mattered not. No, no judge and jury was needed. Where is the left on this one? Come on. The loony left has lost it. Where's the men of integrity? Kucinich, did you speak out on this? I didn't know. Probably he did. Of course, Ron Paul, and we acknowledged Michael Savage reversing his perspective from Friday to Monday. So I was very pleased to hear that. But here we are Thursday this week, and we're asking the same question. Have any more of you woken up to the reality that big government is the great problem here? That their interventionism is dangerous to the health, the life, the liberty, and property of every American, whether they be home or abroad? And we can argue about the warfare-making machinery, the breaking things overseas, only that we can subsidize the building of those things overseas while our infrastructure crumbles. And yet, they also, even under the Obama administration, attack one part of the economy that is a shining light, the dietary supplement industry, where the FDA is doing its best to try and run roughshod over your rights to access innovative new supplements since 1994. Yes, the Alliance for Natural Health here is working their little tushies off over there to try to salvage what little supplement freedom we have left. And an article came out just a couple of days ago from the Alliance for Natural Health talking about the threat to dietary supplements that they couldn't tell you about last year. This is a fascinating inside look. Remember, we talked about Senator Leahy's bill right here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, the so-called food safety bill. And it would have increased criminal penalties for misbranding or adulterating foods to a maximum of 10 years in jail. Now, it passed the Senate, but not the House. And back in April, the A&H reported, and we did hear, that the Leahy bill had been reintroduced in the current session of Congress. And that action alert came out from A&H, from Natural News, from everywhere, including here. And we let loose on it. But the A&H had to be a little secretive about what they couldn't tell you, was that the original Leahy bill, the nutritional supplement manufacturers and distributors were explicitly threatened with misbranding or adulterating with jail time if they failed to follow the letter of FDA's new dietary ingredient, provisions, if you will, mandates, the new supplement provisions. Now, the reason they couldn't tell you, and this is interesting because you get strategy now. Now, unlike the Natural Products Association, which is supposedly the lobbying group for the industry that is compromised, and I will be honest to say that, I've said it to their faces, the Alliance for Natural Health is on your side as a consumer, as someone who utilizes this stuff. So they haven't been bought and sold or compromised in any way. And they knew at the time, because Jonathan Emord had warned everybody, that the FDA was busy crafting its NDI, the new dietary ingredient guidance at the time, the draft guidance. And if they had raised the awareness on this issue, they might have likely lost the ability to curtail those jail terms related to adulteration. And so to get the explicit linkage to the NDI removed in last year's Leahy bill, because if it remained in the bill, big trouble. You'd have seen if NDI passes the way they want it to. It's right now still in the comment section. What I told you about targeting with drones, they wouldn't have had to. They would have simply said, you've misbranded it. We're going to put you in jail for 10 years. Wipe out your dietary supplement business. And they could have wiped out the health food stores. This is what I'm talking about here, about the danger of government gone mad, Republican or Democrat. And if you think that, oh, okay, let's see, Mitt Romney may be in the lead right now, according to the mainstream, old, polluted, toxic media. Do you think he's going to do anything to roll back the FDA? No, nothing, as a Democrat has not and would not and will not. Obama. Yes, the leftist wet dream would not, did not, cannot, does not, whatever. I'm just so sick of it. And those of you who are saying, oh, Ron Paul still can't win, he's not going to win. Listen, if he doesn't, we might have to establish a new colony somewhere else or have a state establish a new colony via the 10th Amendment. If that doesn't work, then who knows what is left? Will blood spill in the streets simply because the screws being wound down ever tighter, the thumb screws of the FDA, to limit your access to even the information about dietary supplements, much less the supplements that could help you, that could save your life? Listen, I got to take a break. I got to take a breather here. I mean, I am getting hot under the collar. I apologize. There's a lot going through me as I watch what's happening here. And what disgusts me more than people that don't love liberty, I don't know. Maybe that takes the cake. Maybe the people that will squash liberty for all those who simply love it. Yeah, that actively take a part in undoing the liberty that our founding fathers left for us. A constitution that has been abandoned in the former Republic of these United States of America. Well, health, freedom, and liberty, at least it lives here on the Robert Scott Bell Show and on Natural News Radio. I appreciate you being here. 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. Are you white and pasty? We've got supplement news for you. As long as it's available, stay with me after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey's most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Information is so good, it requires no expiration date. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
White and pasty? What are you talking about, white and pasty, Robert? Well, yes, there's a story about white and pasty people. Stop picking on white and pasty people, don't you? What is this story here? I bet it's related to vitamin D. Oh, yes, look at this. Vitamin D study suggests that pale people need supplements. Wait, there's a study that says people need supplements? Oh my gosh, what's going on? And this is published on, Health Pop off of CBS anyway. Pale, pasty, it asks. A new study suggests you might benefit from a vitamin D supplement. The English study. Well, this is good because they are white and pasty, all of my friends in the UK, until they come down to Florida and then suddenly they turn into rock lobsters. Very red. I have friends in Germany that do that too from time to time. The English study suggests that pale people tend to be deficient in the sunshine vitamin. Oh, no, really? They avoid the sun? Could it be that they would have low vitamin D levels? Well, they say this without supplements. They're unlikely to get their levels up without getting sunburn. Now, listen, I'm not advocating sunburn. I've never advocated sunburn, but some level of exposure to the sun is so very critical. I remember one time, and this was on my show before we launched with Natural News on my Sunday show, I offended someone. No, say it isn't so, Robert. Yes, I offended somebody. I said, I believe it is so important to get your vitamin D levels up that you need about 40% of your body exposed to the sunlight. See if you can do it every day. I know it's not possible everywhere on the planet based on where you are. But I said, if you need to, go out in your backyard, take your shirt off and get out there and expose yourself to the sun. And somebody got, you know, very upset with me and said, well, you know, we're supposed to be modest. We're not supposed to show off. I did not say go around parading yourself out in the world. You know, women just let your breasts hang free. That wasn't what I was arguing for. Although if you're from France or certain areas of Europe, it's not as big a deal as far as the human body and its exposure. But I'm not advocating people walk around like that because, listen, we could cause a lot of traffic accidents. Oh, yes, that woman out there is just getting some vitamin D. Sorry, officer. I turned my head and there, boom, there it happened. No, this is not what I'm advocating. But seriously, to realize that the sun is very healthy and necessary for our life, it's for life itself. Now, if you are low on the exposure level, and by the way, not to pick on only white and pasty people, but those of you with more pigmentation, here's just so you know, and maybe you've heard me say this, and I do this when talking about issues of race because I look at us as human, but we are superficial beings too. And we'll look at color and we'll go, oh, you got more color. You must be black. And it's like, you don't look that black to me. You don't look that white to me unless you're an albino, I think. But the reality is we're talking about differences in pigmentation. And if you have darker skin pigmentation, you need more sun exposure to get the adequate vitamin D levels in your body up and up and up. And of course, the pasty white people from England don't need as much, but they need some. If you're not getting it, could you consume higher quantities of cod liver oil? Certainly. That's a natural, you know, vitamin D containing food. Could you eat more grasses? Could you eat more sea vegetation that contains vitamin D? This is what the plants do is they convert. Absolutely. A lot of people are very big fans of vitamin D supplementation. And I understand the need for it and the benefit of it. However, I am not thrilled that they're getting it from sheep lanolin or pig skins and not telling you where it's from. So all I'm doing is urging a little caution as to what you put into your body and to be careful because the D, which is not a true vitamin, it's a complex of many things that are hormones, really, that they accumulate. These are not water soluble. So you don't want to OD like Gary Null did on his vitamin D. I don't know the whole details and backstory on that, but we've talked about it a little bit over the years here. But yes, vitamin D. By the way, next hour, speaking of white and pasty or pigmentally non-challenged, I'm going to tackle something that I'm warning you right now. Don't listen if you're easily offended. because I have invited my dear friend Richard Pearl. He has a radio show called Pearls of Health as well, and he's been in the natural product industry. He's one of the guys, if not one of the big inspirations for me to get in the radio way back in the 1990s. And so you see how long ago that goes. And also, Liam Sheff is planning to come back in studio here, the conspiracy realist. And we are going to talk about racial issues. We're going to talk about Obama, re-election. We're going to talk about things that cannot be talked about, taboo subjects here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. I think you're mature enough to handle it. And if you get angry at anything that we relate, listen, we're just going to talk with sincerity and maybe a little bit off the cuff. But you have a phone number to vent if you're angry or if you're supportive of the things we're going to talk about next hour. And I don't even know if we can fit it into 1 hour, because when we get going, we'll see. We may have to do some extra innings on that. And when we get together, it tends to happen, but we'll let you know. But of course, the phone number here at the Robert Scott Bell Show is 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. I'm still beside myself with the story of old people, our senior citizens, becoming drug dealers just to get by. Thank you, Ben Bernanke. Thank you to the Federal Reserve System. That's really where it's at. And if you're part of the Wall Street sit-in, which is a very intriguing thing that's growing and growing and growing, if you're not calling for an end to the Fed, I got no time for you. You're not there for the right reason. You don't get it. Because there are others that I've seen calling for more social interaction with the government, more government intervention, which is the problem here. Now we've got a big story here on naturalnews.com. And of course, I've got that linked up at the blog at robertscottbell.com. It says this: nursing home scandal exposed. Lost generation of senior citizens being hospitalized for profit. Now, the ones that still have their wits about them are profiting off of this by selling the drugs that they're being prescribed. But unfortunately, most of the seniors don't have the wherewithal to sell their drugs in order to make ends meet. The shocking new study conducted by the National Institute of Aging just revealed that 1/5 of Medicare nursing home patients with Alzheimer's or other dementia were sent to hospitals for questionable reasons in their final months, often enduring tube feeding and intensive care that prolonged their suffering, but transferred whatever wealth they had left from them or their heirs via the estate that can no longer be left because they're coming after it. And when that fails, of course, it comes from the rest of the taxpayer suckers that are just locked into believing that the only way we can survive is to give the government even more money, when they can just print it up ad nauseum, if I could say it that way. Now, the kicker to this, and it's in the article here, is these questionable reasons are a lot less mysterious. It makes them so. What is that? Medicare, guess what? Guess how much they pay compared to the normal daily rate for nursing homes to take patients back after a brief hospitalization. They pay 3 times the normal daily rate. So it is profitable, incredible, triply profitable to send these nursing home patients in for hospitalized care, bring them back, and get to bill at triple the rate. So they're likely going to go, hey, well, the hospital care was necessary. There was a frail elderly patient. They couldn't swallow. They got pneumonia, other infections. We need tubes in them. Get them to the hospital. But the real motivation, in fact, is robbery, is theft, made possible by, oh, the loving charity of your federal government, brought to you by the welfare state, the great society, and on top of that, the Medicare state, the Medicaid state, Nixon, all of them. Abandoning real money, making possible the inflation of the money supply so that they could charge inordinate amounts of money that could never be repaid, and then therefore would end in the bankruptcy of the people who could no longer pay for basic medical care, much less end-of-life care. And if you don't already know, that ends up stealing from the next generation, just like the theft of the fiat money system, the fractional reserve banking system, the Federal Reserve System. So if we're looking to promote healing instead of theft by taking, we have to eventually wean the American people off of, well, what do we call it? Different forms of welfare. Just as we need to wean, I'd rather not wean the pharmaceutical industrial complex. I just cut them off. I mean, there's no weaning about it. But certainly we realize, as does Congressman and Dr. Ron Paul realize, many seniors have become bred to be dependent now on government handouts. And some of you would say, not handouts, they paid into it. Well, they didn't pay into their own account. There is no own account, even though there's a number associated with you. It's just kind of pooled together and goes into the general fund. They spend it long before you ever see it. So in the meantime, they take it from everybody else that's still part of that unconscionable system. And if you say, why is it unconscionable? Because, you know, most people are told, it's just like vaccines. You have to have your vaccine. Do they tell you you can opt out? I think like in Galveston, they opted out. They tell you that they're, well, again, I get into religious freedom issues here. I know people are going to get upset with me. So I'll hold that off for another time. But I will say this is another bit of good news, at least for me, I see it is. Last quarter's fundraising numbers are in. And Congressman Ron Paul, one of the first to release or reveal those numbers. I have a link, I think, of Politico and also Los Angeles Times. Others are now picking up this story. I got a nice picture of him smiling on the Politico, which is unusual. Usually they try to make him look bad. But a Ron Paul campaign official tells Politico's Dan Hirshhorn that Paul will announce he raised over $8 million Federal Reserve note dollars. I'm sure it'd be greater if it were silver, but for now, that's what he's got to work with. The Los Angeles Times goes a little further with their article on this, raising $8 million. It certainly was a big surprise because they were flouting about $5 million. But Paul touted the grassroots nature of his haul, noting that more than 100,000 individual donors contributed to his campaign. By comparison, Texas Governor Rick Perry said he raised more than $17 million from only 22,000 donors. You know, one-fifth, 20% of the number that Congressman Ron Paul has. So it's a lot more people giving a little bit of money. And, you know, I posted this on Facebook last night. And it was interesting, one of my Facebook friends, his name is Trevor, you know, and I don't mind at all when people disagree with me on Facebook. Sometimes I'll get nasty, too. It is an anonymous place to some degree, I guess. But, hey, that's the discourse out there. But, he wasn't nasty. I posted something related to the fundraising of Mitt Romney. You know, I said, listen, Romney is getting basically most of his money from Goldman Sachs. Right. Goldman Sachs. This is part of the financial groups, the banksters, the financial firms that were all part of the disaster that the economy is today. The fiat fractional reserve, Federal Reserve system toting loving groups of banksters. You know, basically, I said, look, Romney supported by Goldman Sachs. That tells me all I need to know. I can't support Romney. Right. And, you know, he could be a nice guy. I don't know. He doesn't seem like the evil guy out there like some of them you look at. And you're like, ooh, you know, like a Rick Perry. But at the same time, you know, I just can't go for that. You know, these same economic firms responsible for the crash, they're supporting that candidate. What does that tell you about where that candidate is going to go? So Trevor writes, and there are Nazis who want Ron Paul to be president. I'm not doing guilt by association. I was like, oh, goodness, Lord, guilt by association. See, bankers don't give money out of the goodness of their heart. Do you know any of them? Can you go there? Hey, banker, can you just give me some money? Right. I just need it. You know, you got a good heart, right? Give it to me. Don't expect anything in return. No, their whole basis of their, you know, to some degree, it's usury. I mean, we were warned by Jesus about the money changers. Remember that? Now, if you think that Romney is going to appoint Austrian school economists to his team of advisors when he's funded by basically fiat fractional reserve Keynesians, I just, like I said, I don't know what to say to that. Because, a Nazi gave Ron Paul some money. I don't know if a Nazi did. I didn't know. I guess people can claim to be Nazis, but what were they? They were National Socialists. And if they expected Ron Paul to do them any favors, I'd say that Nazi would be on heavy medication. Would absolutely be on heavy medication because there's no way lobbyists don't even bother dropping by Ron Paul's office in Congress. They know better. They're not wasting their time. They're only going to give money when they know they can get something in return. And listen, I know Trevor likes Ron Paul, too. So it's not a contentious thing. But, you know, for me, does it disqualify him? Yes, it does, because I cannot stomach another Keynesian in the White House. It's done. Is the United States done for if Romney gets, yes, it's because there's no reversing the trend until we have someone that understands the Austrian School of Economics and ends the Fed. And whether we go on a gold standard or not is secondary to the free competition of currency to allow the states to allow everybody to decide, hey, this is what I want for money. And you think, oh, no, it'd be too chaotic. Look, you don't like the chaos. You don't think it's chaotic enough with not knowing the value of the dollar that you're saving right now? that if you even get a Social Security check 10, 20, 30 years from now, that it will not be able to buy anything anyway? Yes, we're done for if Ron Paul is not the next president. And even if he is, we might be as well as a nation because of the debt issue. So, you know, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, if you will. But I think this is the, you know, something that needs to be acknowledged as we're moving forward here, hopefully, in expanded awareness, expanded consciousness. And then let's do something differently. If we expect that we put another candidate in that's a Keynesian economic or has Keynesian economic advisors and the economy's going to change, we're all insane. I choose not to participate in that insanity. That's me. That's Robert Scott Bell. You decide what you want. 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. You're listening to the United States and world of Health Talk Radio here, rocking it on the Robert Scott Bell Show. I am glad you're here. Is Alzheimer's disease communicable? We'll find out after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver Bioactive Silver Hydrosol is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Did you know that your hormones can be rejuvenated without cancer-causing hormone replacement, including bioidentical HRT? This is Dr. Teresa Dale inviting you to take action with my natural homeopathic formulas. Get relief and balance back into your life. My formulas help heal a variety of health conditions, including menopause or low T. You know you have the power to heal your body and mind. And yes, my system and products will help you do that. They have been proven with thousands of people in before and after saliva tests. You can actually get a saliva test sent to you today or just start using our formulas for optimal wellness. Learn more at wellnesscenter.net or naturalhealingpro.com. And you can always give us a call at 800-219-1261.
Robert Scott Bell.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Oh, righty then.
You're everywhere, baby. Radio, TV, the papers. Am I right?
Robert Scott Bell.
Is there another infectious disease on the loose? We don't have enough to concern ourselves with now. They're saying Alzheimer's might be communicable. Well, this is the story, or this is the news article. I don't know what you'd call it here from Fox News. They're reporting, can you catch Alzheimer's disease? The brain damage that characterizes Alzheimer's disease may start out in a form similar to that of infectious diseases, according to this new study. Now, they're linking it to mad cow or Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, which I know very well, having my father-in-law, he died from the human variant CJD. Another story I've mentioned from, rarely do I talk about it. But it involves what they say a normal protein that becomes misshapen and is able to spread by transforming good proteins into bad proteins. So this becomes the infectious disease model. It's always about, oh, what did you catch? What did you eat? And of course, I am not advocating eating animals that eat diseased animals, right? This is the whole source of a lot of what they claimed came out of Europe and England, particularly with the human CJD, or the mad cow disease, as they called it in England. But the bad proteins accumulate in the brain and form plaque deposits that are believed to kill neuron cells. Now, guess how they figured out that this might be infectious? The current study, the researchers injected the brain tissue of an Alzheimer's patient into mice and compared the results to those from injected tissue of controls without the disease. Now, I'm telling you, if you're taking brain tissue from any human or animal and injecting that brain tissue into any other human or animal, what the hell do you think is going to happen? None of it's going to be good. Researchers said the findings open the possibility that sporadic Alzheimer's cases may arise from infectious processes. Why? Because they inject. I mean, this sounds to me mysteriously like how they figured out polio, right? We took something out of the brain of a monkey or whatever, and monkey testicles, whatever. We put it in the petri dish. We start throwing things in there, other chemicals. Then we inject that into the brain of a monkey. And, oh, look, the monkey gets paralyzed. Oh, who couldn't predict that? And then they say in there, oh, there must be a polio virus. This is nonsense. Absolute disturbing nonsense that researchers can get away with this line of, injection, much less discussion that, oh, that may be the reason why we have Alzheimer's. We're catching it from our neighbor. Yes, right. We are injecting the brains of zombies that already have Alzheimer's into, well, maybe. If we talk about flu shots every year, who knows where that's coming from, quite honestly. As we learn more and more about the insidious, disastrous, and diabolical lack of nature in the vaccine industry. And we find that some studies have indicated that getting five or more flu shots in a row, well, increases your risk of Alzheimer's tenfold. According to this, we took a normal mouse model that spontaneously does not develop any brain damage and injected a small amount of Alzheimer's human brain tissue into the animal's brain, said Claudio Soto, a professor of neurology at the University of Texas Medical School at Houston. The mouse developed Alzheimer's over time, and it spread to other portions of the brain. Wow, God, come on. You're injecting diseased human brain tissue into brain tissue of an animal. And what do you expect would happen? Now they're going to say that Alzheimer's causes polio in mice. I could see this coming. This study was actually published in the Journal of Molecular Psychiatry. Now, in terms of Alzheimer's disease, I see a lot of things associated with the fat phobia that we have as a culture. And I've covered this from time to time. But if you're on a statin drug, I believe that you are actually increasing your risk maybe over tenfold from the annual flu shots of Alzheimer's, simply because you're reducing cholesterol levels in the body artificially. And in so doing, you're actually damaging your brain and nervous system, which is made up of fat and lots of cholesterol. And you eliminate that, you absolutely age your brain, you absolutely induce other kinds of neurological deficits, and I believe that would include Alzheimer's disease. So if you know anybody on a statin drug to reduce cholesterol, talk to them before they forget who you are. So we all absolutely need to increase our levels of EFAs, essential fatty acids, DHA, and EPA. And I would go upwards of 1, 2, or 3 grams daily. You know, I've talked about this. I've covered it extensively on my Sunday show on GCNlive.com that I do as well. As you know, the Robert Scott Bell Show, not just 5 days a week, but 6 days a week. Can you imagine? One day a week, I get off, sort of. Well, I'm sort of studying about the next day's show, too. So it's an interesting life that I lead, but I don't complain. I am grateful for the opportunity to be a conduit for information that is not getting out in many other places. And once again, I want to thank everybody that's commented on the videos that you've seen there at iHealthTube.com on many topics and subjects that I don't often get to go into great detail. It's kind of like the turn the tables on Robert, ask him questions, like Liam once in a while. He'll take over the microphone here and start asking me questions, and it changes up
the information flow a little differently. But I hear sometimes you don't mind that happening. So happy to do that whenever I can. So other things we would look to do for Alzheimer's, we have to increase our silicon or silica levels in the body. Because without that trace mineral, the nervous system also cannot function. The neuron, the brain cell, the silicon chip that it is, cannot function properly. So we have to look to forms of silica that are bioavailable. And that would be food sources. That would be horsetail extract or the concentrated tea from the horsetail extract, which could give us more silica that we can than we can normally get. And my good friend Jonathan at choosetobehealthy.com does carry that form of silica for those so interested. He could be reached at 866-424-1077, 866-424-1077. I would also add, you know, in terms of the reduction of the cholesterol, of course, you're going to impact negatively your body's ability to produce the vital hormones like estrogen, testosterone, progesterone that keep you young, vital, and healthy. And this is the other aspect of endocrine disruption that may also precipitate a lot of brain and neurological dysfunction later in life. And I'm going to have Dr. Teresa Dale back on the show here. I hope that you have gotten the book. Maybe you haven't, but if you haven't, please do. I got a link up here to Dr. Dale's book, and it's Dr. Dale's 7 Steps to a Happier, Healthier, and Sexier You. Revitalize Your Hormones. And it's only $15.95, and you're going to get a lot from this book, the Revitalize Your Hormones book. And I'll have the link up as well, but if you want, you can get your hormones checked. She's got the saliva test that is really quite impressive, quite extraordinary in how you can actually test your hormones. And it's not an invasive test using saliva. And it is a very viable. It is, for what you're going to get from it, it's very affordable as well. And I want you to get this saliva test. Here's how you can get more information on it. You can call 800-219-1261, 800-219-1261. I just add that to the strategies that you have that we try to bring you every day here on the Robert Scott Bell Show that you might not hear anywhere else. And we'll get Dr. Teresa Dale back on and talk more about that issue of aging gracefully with brain, neurological, cognitive, memory functions all intact. And Dr. Dale can be found at wellnesscenter.net, wellnesscenter.net. At the very least, say thank you from me to her for her support of the Robert Scott Bell Show. She does great work. Okay, let's see. We got a few more stories to cover this hour. As I warn you, and I'll warn you again next hour, if you're sensitive about racial issues, we're actually going to talk about them openly, candidly, in an unscripted way, completely from the heart and from our experience, as I've invited my good friend Richard Pearl back to the show, as well as Liam Sheff. And this is something that is maybe groundbreaking, to have open discussion on this without any hostility and anger, just to really uncover some things that may be uncomfortable to discuss in the old media. And that's what we are not. We are the new media. We are taking on all of the sacred cows and turning them into organic raw milk for consumption for those who want it. If you don't, that's okay. We're cool. And if you are ever offended, just let me know. 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. A little bit more on the Wall Street sit-ins and whatever else I can fit in this next segment here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Say thanks to the sponsors. Coming right back.
You're looking for FDA-approved radio. You're listening to the wrong show. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Shop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
Bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
You remember the Black Death? I know nobody's old enough to know about it. It's like, what is this theme about black and white? We got pasty white people needing vitamin D. Now I talk about Black Death. Of course, we overemphasize skin pigmentation. We're going to talk about that next hour. But there is something they've discovered is the new bubonic plague of the 21st century. I'm going to get into that in just a moment. First is about the Wall Street sit-ins. And I have a YouTube and I've linked it up. There's a Wall Street protester. It looks like a young kid. I mean, if he's in his 20s, man, he's young. But he's very cogent in his arguments, in his statements. He's talking about the Federal Reserve. He's talking about inflation. He's talking about the things. If you're going to let loose with that amount of emotional fervor, you don't want to lose your mind and go, government, save us. This is a guy that gets it. And so take a look at that YouTube if you get a moment. There is some foul language in there. So if you're offended easily, then don't watch it. But I thought it would be important to see what the media is not going to show you, the old media, that some of the people there actually get it. They actually understand what's going on. But what is this great new 21st century plague that they're saying is the Black Death of the 21st century? It's the top cause of workplace sickness. No, it's not communicable Alzheimer's. They're not injecting brain tissue into you yet. Although, if you get a vaccine, there's all kinds of other strange tissue may be injected into you. But it turns out that a six-letter word is the new Black Death of the 21st century. It starts with an S. It ends with an S. There are three S's in it. And it in the midst of it is a tray. Well, is it a three? Is it a six? Okay, these numbers are really confusing. It's stress! Ah! Stress has become the most common reason for a worker being signed off long-term sick. A report out of the Mail Online from yesterday. Experts say the psychological condition has become so widespread that it was the 21st century equivalent of the Black Death. Stress has even eclipsed stroke, heart attack, cancer, back problems. All of those, according to the report from the Chartered Institute of Personnel and Development in Great Britain. Jill Miller, an advisor to the Institute, says the report highlights the heightened pressure many people feel under in the workplace as a result of the prolonged economic downturn, right? And you read about these stories back in the old, the Great Depression, where people would be jumping out of windows. Listen, you know, if anybody should be jumping out of a window, and I'm not endorsing it, it's the heads of these firms that are, you know, really the reason for the bankruptcy. And that would go right to the Federal Reserve. Ben Bernanke, audit Ben. Are they injecting something into his brain? What's going on with Ben Bernanke? Anyway, stress. Listen, that's it. When I talk about toxicity, when I talk about deficiency, when I talk about the cause of all disease, it is in fact stress. Now, there are different forms of stress or positive stress. I mean, even if you're a pretty relaxed kind of guy, not watching the news and you're happy-go-lucky, you'll have some level of stress. It's just the normal part of life. But the kind of stress here we're talking about is everything, not just emotional stress. Now, when I talk about stress, I talk about physiological stressors that you can't even see. Oh, maybe you can see the air. You used to be able to see the air in Los Angeles, right? Was that Woody Allen's famous line? I don't trust air that I can't see or I can't land on. I remember flying into LAX years ago when before they cleaned up their act a little bit more, where you felt like you could land on the smog. But there's a lot of particulates that you can't visually see that create stress. There are a lot of synthetic pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, metals, all of these things, additives. Well, the colorings, I guess you could see. You know, I go to work out in the morning sometimes, sometimes the afternoon. I'll do boxing sessions and things just to keep fit. And occasionally you'll see some of the people there, some just for regular fitness, some are the professional boxers, and, you know, they'll be drinking, Crocodile Aid. You know what? I'm not naming a brand here. And it's filled with food colorings. You're like, whoa, what's the problem? Tell me where that day glow red and orange is in nature. And they say, well, but it's got electrolytes, right? Okay, it's got sugar. Yeah, you can do that. There's actually an organic form of that kind of electrolyte drink. I forget what it's called. Maybe I'll come up with that. You can see it at some of the natural stores. But anyway, what I'm talking about here is that these colors that you can't see or these other toxins you can't see at very minute levels add stress to the cells. But they're not the cells that can say, hey, excuse me, Robert, what are you doing putting that in? They don't speak English, in other words. But what they do speak is gastrointestinal distress, acid reflux, joint pain, fatigue, headaches, toe pain. I mean, this is the kind of thing, the stress, it's trying to tell you something. And then we go ahead and shoot out the warning light. And that's what we do when we take a drug, which is more stress to the body's cells. Stress is the new black death of the 21st century, and it's been building over 100 years. Since we've abandoned nature as our teacher, and we've adopted synthetic pharmacology as a way of life, we've engaged in it as a way of disease, decay, death, and dying. So when I say go organic, it's not just to annoy you. Oh, Robert, you're just saying that. It's just a fad. No, it's not a fad. I went that way like 1990, 91, and I never returned to the old ways, the dark ways, the pesticide ways, to the best of my ability. Granted, I'm exposed to things, you're exposed to things, we can't control for everything. But every little bit that we do control for goes in our favor and can pay us back 100-fold, 1,000-fold, 1,000,000-fold, because that is the resilience of creation itself. And that creation itself, of course, created us all, as we said, as you read sometimes in God's image. You heard about that? Are we created in God's image? And does God look like a human being? Does God look black, white, red, yellow? I mean, is that what was talked about? Or is this a spiritual issue? Is this something that goes far beyond the physical shell, the clay, the temple that we inhabit while we are here on planet Earth in the physical universe? That is the question. I can't promise we'll go there. I can't even promise we'll answer that question next hour. But I'm warning you, if you are hypersensitive to issues of race, we're all part of the human race, but skin pigmentation issues, I have challenged my friend Richard Pearl and Liam Sheff to talk about these things openly next hour, prompted in part by what are we going to do next presidential election? Will people be guilted into voting for Obama once again because of his skin pigmentation or because of the job he has or has not done? That's just the starting point. We may end up going places I don't expect. My apologies in advance if you are already offended for me telling you you might get offended. And we may have to go into extra innings. I have a sense about it because when Richard Pearl and I and Liam get together, it's just hard to stop. And if that's the case, we will give you information or check on my Facebook page or my Twitter page or robertscottbell.com, and we'll let you know how to listen to any bonus time that we have to cover beyond our allotted time here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Grateful that you would join me every day, and I hope that you will stick around next hour. If you don't, I understand. But we are going to go where few dare to tread. In the old media, they don't go there. We're going to do it next on the Robert Scott Bell Show. In the meantime, remember this, that the power to heal is yours.
Robert Scott
the
Bell
Robert
Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The information on the Robert Scott Bell Show has not been approved by the Food and Drug Administration and is not intended to prevent, cure, treat, or diagnose any disease. Nah, just kidding. As far as we're concerned, the FDA can kiss our
ass. Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Oh, look at all these trillions of dollars debt, lost jobs, and foreclosed homes.
Did I do that?
You dug yourself a hole and you crawled in it.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
Joe, we have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just came out of here.
Robert Scott Bell.
We will make this the most honest, ethical, and open Congress in history.
Is there any insanity in your family?
Do we have the power to tell people what they have to eat every day?
Senator Coburn,
today, Junior?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
What was it that came out in the 80s? Was it like parental advisory on albums? Remember that in the 80s, Liam? The record albums had parental advice. Don't listen to this rap album. It's got bad words in it.
I'm Tipper Gore.
That's right. Tipper Gore. Al's wife. That's right. I remember that. But they did a big sloppy kiss one year at the convention, and that all made up for it. But hey, this hour, we've got parental advisory going on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Because guess what? Not only is Liam in the house, but we've got Richard Pearl, my dear friend. We had him on a few weeks back, and we covered some very interesting
in his house.
And of course, Richard has been in the natural products industry for many, many years. He actually was responsible for getting me into radio. He doesn't like to admit it because of the things I've done and said on the air. It's very troublesome, Richard, that you've been.
Which is why I'm here.
This is why you're here. You're bringing me back in line. This hour on the Robert Scott Bell Show, it's almost a free for all, but we've got some subject matter that I kind of hinted at yesterday with Liam. As we wrapped up yesterday's show, we were talking about embedded racism, colonialism within the medical profession in terms of the AIDS construct, the pharmaceuticalization of the entire continent of Africa, and of course the inner city poor that happen to be largely, as far as socioeconomic status, not as pigmentally challenged as we are in this room right now. And so there's racial, let's say, divides, there's racial viewpoints on all of these issues. And of course, we go right into the presidency now. America has its first non-pigmentally challenged president, right? First non-white guy. And so now we're coming into
We got a brother in the White House.
Well, that's
well,
what
technically he's partly white, but his pigmentation is certainly
right.
The dominant.
He's tanner.
The dominant aspect makes him black.
Right. Well, of course, it's all visual. Dominant it's all how you look out on the outside, right? It's only about right. The cover. And we, you know, again, this is a tough subject to cover, but I wanted to get Richard, you in here as well, because we're going to talk about the economic aspects of this as well. Going into the 2012 election cycle, we're in it. We're in the midst of it. We've covered elections, debates that are not debates, with only Ron Paul seemingly talking sense. But we're going to see one of the Republican candidates up there. He's going to go up against Obama eventually, unless Obama bows out, which I doubt that he will. And of course, there are going to be racial things motivating. They're going to say the Republicans are racist. They don't like black people and they want Obama out. They want him to fail because he's black. Remember when they said that about Rush? I want to get beneath that surface, no pun intended, to see what is the basis for, let's say, targeting Obama because he's got darker skin versus did he do a really sucky job as president? Can we get beyond it? Can we discuss it? Or is it off limits?
Well, they would like it. They would like it to be off limits. They would like it to be simply about race, because then you don't have to look at anything. And it's funny, because if you look at the race aspect, I'm not a Republican. I'm liberal. I just find it interesting that
you hate America.
I must. I find it very interesting that because Rush Limbaugh said what he said, the connotation was only I want Obama to fail because he's black, mm-hmm. not because he's a Democrat.
Right.
And if it was a white president and they said that about him wanting him to fail, I don't think anyone would have thought, well, it's anything other than because he's a Democrat.
Right, right. Well, and would we not say that a lot of people voted for Obama because he was black? Could we say that? Would that be a fair
Absolutely,
thing to say?
Absolutely, that's true.
Well, why do you say that?
Well, think about it. We have racial issues in this country where even the white people of today had nothing to do with what happened in, you know, a century ago or even longer or even before 1964. Most of the people who are around today didn't have anything to do with that. But we're always reminded about how bad we were to black people. Mm-hmm. So in that structure, we always feel guilty at some level. And so, therefore, when you have a black person running and you have that reminder constantly that you did something to them, even though it wasn't you personally, you always feel a sense of like we created a victim and we need to help them out. So there's that undertone to everything. And then when you take the election, from my perspective, we were given a false choice, but our choice was somebody who might do something good versus a zipper neck and a crazy woman.
Right. Yeah.
So that, along with the fact that we assumed that he would have more empathy for poor and middle, and the poor in the middle at that moment were suffering greatly. We figured, well, he's black, so there's some consideration for his caring about people who have less than.
Yeah.
And we felt guilty. And so, yes, most of the people who voted for Obama happened to be white, and a percentage of that population felt very strongly we should give the black man a chance.
But now we got like almost four years later, of course, we're in that cycle. And the people that voted for Obama, many of them are now going, well, maybe it was perhaps a little better if we had looked a little deeper into this issue. Was he qualified? Not whether he was a certain skin color. Now it's going to be a difficult thing because some will abandon him. A lot will, based on the economy, because it's about, hey, I can't eat, right? But others will just stick to it. Let's just say I'm black. Or black like me. I remember reading that. Black like me. Remember, that was required reading to understand a white guy went and did his thing, became a black man, to really experience the racial prejudice and all that had happened at that time. But if you were of that darker skin pigmentation now and you identify with Obama as part of you somehow, it's a collectivist ideal I recognize, you're going to want to say, I don't want to see this man fail, because now maybe they're going to reflect that on all of us. And we got to stick by him no matter what. I mean, it's almost a no-win scenario right now we're looking at.
Well, I find it really interesting whether, because I have a lot of clientele in my business that are black. 90% of my business is black, which is kind of interesting. Black and Caribbean, or Caribbean, however you want to say it. And so you get insights, because I break bread with these people. I'm friendly with them. Some I'm extremely friendly with. But you find out what really drives them in their political beliefs. There are a lot of blacks who are very upset with Obama and don't see him as, you know, a liberator of thoughts or ideas or any different than Bush. But there's a core group who identify the black struggle through Obama. And my question would be, you know, we always flip it this way. We always say, does white America want Obama to fail? I would flip the question, since so many blacks are ardently for him, strictly because of his color.
Yeah.
If a white president were to come in, the people who are very pro-Obama, would they be happy if he succeeded where Obama didn't?
Well, that was the question of would they take it personally as an affront to the racial identity as opposed to just the capability of the human being? You know, everything seems to be colored in race and skin color. And I talked with Liam yesterday on the show a bit about my upbringing, which was a little different. It was a little more colorblind. My kid went to a school. He was the only white kid for a while, while we were in that area. It didn't matter to us. And a lot of young people are more that way now. They don't look at it the same way as previous generations. So there is a transition going on. But there was a lot of goodwill and hope for Obama, you know, not to make fun of the hope and change, that it turned out to be not any different than Bush. He doubled down. Again, they've heard me say this.
Right.
But now it's like this. Could this set back racial relations?
I think it has.
Okay.
I think it's sort of like the OJ trial or the McDuffie trial back in Florida back in the early 80s. I think it has because people have drawn lines because it's not about what's best for the country. You see this with Democrats and Republicans. You see a report like Elizabeth Warren said some things that were very pro society, and Fox News flipped it into something really horrible. And people take sides. They don't care about the truth. And so you see this also, so many people who are defensive of the president strictly because he's black. They wouldn't say these things. In fact, the head of the Black Caucus came out recently. I can't think of his name. But he said, if Obama was white, we would be acting a whole lot differently.
Was that John Lewis?
I don't remember his name.
John said is very outspoken in that regard, too.
But the point is that we have a society that doesn't care about what's best for the country. We have a society that wants to win. When Bush was in, all the religious people kept going for Bush, voting for him and believing in him, even though he didn't give them anything that he promised.
Yeah.
Obama doesn't give any of the black or the middle class or the poor or anybody anything. He takes care of the investor class. And yet they still want him because I think ultimately, again, this is through my conversations with so many
blacks. It seems like self-abusive to want more of that.
But it's not that. They identify themselves with the struggle or Obama with their struggle. And there's many, I'm not saying percentages, who believe that if Obama fails, then they will become second-class citizens again. And so it really boils down to that because the truth is it's fine to have a black president or a white president or a green president, but not one that's not qualified. And that's lost in the shuffle. People don't want to see that. They don't want to see that this man never really had any kind of job where he had to balance books or deal with finance or run a company where he could have, you know, gone out of business. He never did that. He was a lawyer, but he never practiced. He was, a communicator. I mean, not a communicator. He was a community organizer. Yeah, organizer. And he was, a senator for about as long as Palin was a governor. Right? Yeah. So we don't really have a man who's got, out of his 50 years of being alive, much business savvy. And he surrounded himself with the same people who caused the mess in the first place.
Yeah, which we would argue and probably agree upon that if McCain had gotten in, the same people would have surrounded him, the same failed economic policies would. I mean, there really isn't a functional difference that I can see in most senses with what Bush was doing. Now what Obama's done, and the most recent controversy, of course, is the assassination, as Ron Paul calls it, of al-Awlaki. Probably a really horrible guy, but no evidence supported. Now, if the president or anybody that heads the executive branch, this is the thing that really upsets me, is like, okay, you got your guy in now. How long do you think you're going to have your guy in, no matter what? Some other guy or gal maybe getting in you don't like. You invest the power to kill an American overseas that you think, okay, right now we all agree that's the bad guy. But who's to say the next guy or even this guy starts turning that assassination tango on you? I mean, where is the consciousness to understand the bigger ramifications of this? Instead, we are dancing and having to discuss the skin color, which I think is a very important discussion to have, by the way.
Yeah, but I think what you're talking about is more relevant to anything, and it was hardly covered. And I saw it on one of the TV shows, one of the Talking Head shows. And the problem with it was that they just brushed over it. And most of the people that were on the panel said, hey, it's a good thing. And this was not on Fox. This was on something else.
Yeah.
And it brings up your point. And then I saw it also on Fox. And it was the same idea where three of the four people thought it was a good idea, not realizing that everything's a moment in time. And what you think is okay today because it's happening to somebody else, it's not okay because later it'll happen to you.
Yeah.
You know, they never use, like with Jose Padilla or in this case here, they never use a target that is sympathetic. Like if they used instead of Jose Padilla when they took his rights away,
yeah,
and he was a U.S. citizen, if they had a blonde woman, how many people would have thought that was a good idea?
Right.
People would have been up in arms. How can you do this to a pretty blonde girl, right? But you take somebody that is not appreciated in our society as an easy target, yeah, then we say that's how we'll do it. And then we do the same thing with al-Awlaki, yeah, where they kill him, assassinate him, and the public's okay with it because he's not one of us. He's one of them, even though he was born here.
Mm.
So it's basically putting the frog in hot water, but slowly boiling him. You just put it warm enough and keep raising
the
temperature.
They raised the temperature pretty quick on that one. And I think, as evidenced by Savage, Michael Savage, reversing course on what he had said initially, that gives me a little bit of hope that somebody's thinking out there that's not lockstep on this issue. Now, of course, we've even, as a quote-unquote nation with NATO, bombed an African country with a president who happens to be black. And, you know, if a white president did this, would it not be called somewhat racially motivated? I mean, we talked about the African continent yesterday with the medical profession. Now, you know, it raises some other questions. Listen, we're going to take a quick break here. My good friend Richard Pearl is here. I've got links up to Simply Natural. He's got a great restaurant if you ever make it down to the South Florida area. Well, organic. Yes, organic food. There's a place you can go. Liam Sheff, the conspiracy realist, is here with us as well. We're going to continue this discussion. Actually, we're talking about things we're not allowed to talk about. That's what we do on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Richard, thanks for being here. We'll be right back.
Why do you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show?
Bravery and integrity is amazing, and it's much needed.
I love, love, love your show.
I love the show, like all the things that you're doing with Mike Adams and all the writers at Natural News.
To be quite frank with you, I think the show is the biggest breath of fresh air we've found.
Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL. Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing. Robert Scott Bell Show.
Discussing the undiscussable right here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Thank you for being on naturalnewsradio.com. If you're there, enter your email address and you'll be sent daily updates with links to all the stories and how to read through the news instead of be victimized by the news. Liam Sheff, the conspiracy realist, is here in studio, as well as Richard Pearl, my good friend, and he has Simply Natural Health Foods. And we'll talk more about the natural products industry and threats to it, because, you know, if we go beyond the racial divide, as we see, whether it was a Republican administration or Democrat, white or black, they all equally hate raw milk. They all equally hate dietary supplements and don't want you to have the freedom to compete with the pharmaceutical industrial complex. But before, we got to talk about culture, Richard. In your story, you mentioned that 90% of your customer base is black or African-American, however you want to be described.
Well, you know, I want to say, I hate that term African-American. Unless you're born in Africa,
yeah,
You're American first. If people are going to get along together, you can't keep separating yourself from the group.
The labels kind of impact right. divisively.
If anything, they're indigenous black.
Mm-hmm.
I would characterize it this way, indigenous black and Caribbean black.
Yeah.
Because that's what we have, 90% of my clientele. And I'm very comfortable with black. I was bussing the first year of bussing back in 68, and all my friends were black. My neighborhood changed. I was very comfortable with it. I'm still comfortable with it.
Yeah.
There's no issue with that. Being, I don't care that somebody's a different color. I think it's interesting.
But that's, you know, that's the kind of concept that's hard for people to get. It's like, of course, you know, everything is colored that way, no pun intended. But, you know, no one's as white as this envelope unless right. they're, what is that called when you're really that white?
Albino.
An albino. And no one is as black as the darkest thing here on my shirt is a black shirt today. But these colors are altered. The definitions are altered just to divide, you know, the star-bellied sneeches of Dr. Seuss. But the reality is, isn't it more culturalism and culture that is shifting? Because, you know, I have dear friends from England, okay? They happen to have a lot more pigment than me. And they come to America, and, you know, at one of the stores they went to, they're British, they speak with British accents. And the lady, you know, it was a black woman helping her out at the store, and she said, oh, I didn't know there were African Americans in Britain. What? I mean, this is the kind of thing, like you
said. By the way, the rest of the world doesn't use that term.
No.
It's just an American thing. I just find it sad in a way that black people have to keep changing the moniker.
Hmm.
I just think it's not helpful to them. It diminishes them when you keep separating yourself or saying, well, I want to be you, but I have to keep reminding you that I'm different than you.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it shouldn't matter. I've found, and again, 90% of my clientele is black, and we have great conversations and so forth, because I'm very clear on my statements, and so are they. There's a huge difference between Caribbean black and American black.
Well, we talk about the culture. Like you said, you interact and you see the cultural shifts. Some people think, well, it's a monolithic thought form. Everybody thinks and it's ridiculous. I mean, everybody ultimately is an individual. It's different between individualism and collectivism.
Right, but the struggle here is different than the struggle in, say, Jamaica or Haiti. There they have black politicians. Some are good, some are bad, some are corrupt. So they don't single out or look at the...
You have a star on your belly or not. You all look the same.
Yeah,
so different...
they don't care.
Right.
They look at you, are you of merit or not? And there's no issue. Here, it's because he's black, as opposed to, well, is he qualified? Or is he talented? Or is he skillful? Or is he sell out? Or is he doubled down? Has he doubled down on the Bush administration, wars and policies?
Right.
So, but... There's that disconnect because here it's all about pride and the sense of, well, we struggled. We put this man on the moon, so to speak, and we can't take him out of there. And no matter how bad he is, no matter how worse our life is, it doesn't matter. It's like the song The Winner, if you know the song by Bobby Bear.
Can you sing it to us?
No. But it's a great song by Bobby Bear, and it talks about all these different things that happened to him for being a winner. And one of the verses goes, this broken back was the dying act of handsome Harry Clay. That smoky Cincinnati night I stole his wife away. But that woman, she gets uglier, and she gets meaner every day. But I got her, boy, and that makes me the winner.
Hmm.
And this is the mentality that he may suck, but... Because he's there, we're somehow better. And the island people, by and large, don't have as much attachment to that mindset.
Yeah.
Because they don't care. They're used to running their own government, and it's not a black-white issue. They do have a color issue between lighter and darker, but it's not black and white. If you ask anyone who's from Jamaica or Haiti or some of these different countries, Trinidad, Barbados, when they come over here, that's the first time they really experience – racism, USA.
Sure, that's very important. It is unique to our culture more than any. Although racism exists and existed in European colonialism, and it still exists as we talked yesterday with Liam. Now, I realize there are going to be people out there in my audience that are going to be ticked off. It's like, what are you pigmentally challenged boys talking about racism? You don't know nothing about it. That's why we brought in...
Excuse me.
It's his brother, Will.
Yeah.
You just snuck in here. But again, this may balance out the discussion here.
Now,
brother Will, have you been listening to anything
we've
been saying?
Now, Brother Bell.
Yes, Brother Will.
And Grand Dragon Pearl.
Now, I'm Jewish. I can't be that.
No.
Now, Brother Pearl, Brother Bell, I wanted to explain something to you. There's a lot of wisdom in some of what you have been saying.
But where have we missed the boat?
The boat is exactly what you have missed, because 8 to 20 million people died on the Middle Passage. Now, you want to talk about an inheritance of suffering on this continent? You cannot compare us to the Chinese. You cannot compare us to the Vietnamese, although the white man bombed them out of existence. You cannot compare us to the Jewish man, even though he was exterminated by Hitler, a white man exterminating white people. You cannot compare us.
What about the Indians?
20 million people. You can compare us to the Indians. 20 million people taken from their homes on the African continent, brought here to grow your cotton, your sugar cane. We built Harvard. We built the White House. It's called the White House. Should be called the Black House. We built
Brother
it.
Bill saying something here.
He's no, saying no, something. I'm not sure it's worth anything, but.
Excuse me. It is worth. We have not been paid for this. It is worth a great deal. This continent has been built
well,
by the black man.
Brother Bill, didn't they pay the Chinese to build the railroads? They didn't like them, though.
They were not slaves. They did not get whipped, and their women was not raped by the massa.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they had an opportunity to rise. It took a long time because of the racism inherent in Western society.
Mm. But, you know, this racism, Brother Bill, we talk about...
Brother William.
Sorry, Brother William. We talk about...
I get two syllables in my last name.
All right, Brother William. The racism, it isn't always, let's say, that cut and dry or clear. Isn't it true that throughout history, you know, white people have enslaved white people, black people have sold black people into slavery? I mean, not
in fact, the first indentured servants were white.
I believe so. And, of course, in Europe as well. Now,
wasn't it the African kings that brought the slaves to the shoreline?
You're an educated man, and I accept your point, and I accept it graciously. But you're talking about America. When Brother Barack comes to the top, and people, the brothers and sisters in the ghettos, in Compton, whose babies have to eat at the McDonald's and drink the dirty water that they are fluoridated against our votes, against our will... Now, you can get to Beverly Hills. You can get any kind of water that you want. Down there in Compton and Watts, you do not get the opportunity, and you are not educated to do so. So they see the rise of the black man, and of course they're going to get behind him. And of course he's owned by the same corporation.
Well, Brother William, why is it that the same government that was used to enslave and literally house these people, if you will, in the ghetto... They're claiming that that same government could somehow protect or help them. And you know, look, that's the same government that's fluoridating the water of everybody's water. And of course, this is something that's horrific to me. So what can be done to solve this problem?
That is a question for the eternal ages. I do not have the answer. I'm glad here to talk about it. I just want to correct some misassumptions and misappreciations. Number one. The black man has not been given a fair deal in this country, and we need some reparations. You don't have to put money on our bank accounts, but you have to reinvest in our communities to give us education so we can compete and participate in Western society. If you visit many African nations within the American nation, you will find that they are third world countries compared to what you get in the white neighborhoods. This is endemic, systemic, infectious racism. It exists to this day. Despite the well wishes of yourselves, Brothers Bell and Pearl.
Well, the controversy over reparations, Richard, is an interesting one because some would say,
I thank you for your time.
Brother William, I thank you for dropping by to add that in because it's another level of the equation, a discussion we needed to hear. I want to hear. And if we talk about reparations and see if you, Brother Will, can you send Liam back in a moment? And I want to talk to him about this
that
as well.
That pasty so-and-so, yeah, I'll get him.
Yeah, get the pasty guy in there, Barry, please. But the reparations thing, some would say this is all about, well, I want money now, give it to me now. Of course, the Federal Reserve is doing it for the financial industry. We mentioned that even Obama's
doing
that.
You can't just throw money. When you throw money at things, it's like giving a lottery winner $1 million. He's back to poor, being poor again in 3 years. You just can't throw money at things. You have to teach concepts. And you also have to change culturally how people look at their lives. And I don't know how you do that with a society, particularly in an area that you may not be that well versed in. For instance, if a white guy or white government is throwing money in a black situation, if they haven't experienced the black life really fundamentally, it's very difficult for them to really have the nuanced view of what to do.
Well, if we talk about rebuilding infrastructure, that's the big argument today, right? We just, if we could just invest in infrastructure, of course, we're also invested in bombing, in you know, killing overseas, our soldiers are over there.
Well, we do invest in infrastructure over there because we bomb them, then
right,
we rebuild.
But, yeah. You know, we talk about that. You see, this is the thing that it's not so simple as black and white, because as we see, Obama comes in and continues the same policy of administrations prior. All in terms of racial discussion, white versus black, it didn't matter. As I said, this is about economics, is it not?
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, what I don't get is, all right, you know, everyone's giving – we basically have two tiers of expectations for presidents. We have one for the white president. We have others for black, because no matter what, it's always the white man's fault. It's always Congress's fault. It's never the leader who's running the show. And I just find it amazing. Here's a president – who's taken over an economy that's suffering greatly. The banks are still suffering. They're actually undercapitalized, because if you go mark to market on the housing, they'd be insolvent. So they're really undercapitalized.
Even though they're flush with cash.
Right. They've got like $1 trillion cash. But if you factor in the real value of property, they're not.
They're underwater.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and they're not going to loan to people. That would be foolish. You'd rather hold your cash. So anyway, we have a fundamentally disorganized society. And we have a government, a president who came in, who can sit back like you and I and realize, okay, we have wars all over the place. We're supporting bases that we don't really need. That we're being too much imperialistic. Barney Frank even said something yesterday about the fact that we should, you know, slash $150 to $200 billion out of the War Department.
You heard of Barney Frank? You were up there in Massachusetts.
Oh, hey guys, yeah.
Liam, thanks.
I like that guy. Look, he offered me a bean pie. He made a lot of good points. I just wanted to take his point that this nation, the East Coast, the moneyed nation, was built by black hands, brown hands, African hands. They were not given the opportunity and they weren't paid. I mean, I don't think reparations should be put in people's bank accounts, but he was talking about an investment in the inner cities. Now, did you ever, you know Dave Chappelle, the comedian?
Yeah.
Yes.
Did
you ever see his show on reparations?
No.
It says the Congress has voted to give every African American like $1 million, and suddenly you see people in line at the cash and, you know, get in line, poor people, you know, and it's this hysterical, you know, the reporter comes up, the white reporter, and all these sisters are there with their long fingernails and the big hair. They're, hide your money, y'all, poor people coming around. And it's this hysterical series of jokes that he's having at what? At black people? No, at black culture, at what? At this idea that there are two cultures within America. No, there are like 10, there are 20, there are 30 cultures within America, because he's also playing the black reporter on the show, right? Who's he's playing himself as a white guy, but then he plays a black weatherman on the show who's sort of dressed down and been Al, what's the guy, big guy, used to be a big guy.
Al somebody?
Yeah, the big weatherman. Anyway,
okay,
then he got thin, and he plays him, and he used to be the really friendly, nice guy, and then he says, no, I'm rich now, I'm going to be a gangster, and he does all this kind of stuff. So it's playing with the concepts of identity and culture. I want to say two things before we go to break.
Sure.
One, the president isn't the president. It doesn't matter who. If black people are what you call pigmentally advantaged people.
Yeah, exactly. We're pigmentally challenged or pigmentally advantaged.
If darker skinned people got if they were sold this bill of goods that voting for this guy would reimburse them, they were, of course, lied to. The same way that you said that people who voted for Bush thinking that he was going to make this a Christian nation were lied to, because the president is not the president. And I don't think that point
can
be overlooked.
Well, let's take a break on that point. We'll come back to this discussion. I also want to get into the economic issue, because I think reparations are in order for the entire American people since 1913. We'll explain that as well. Maybe even get into the so-called price of gold and silver. What's going on out there? Richard Pearl will let us know. Liam Sheff is also here. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show, talking about things we are not allowed to talk about. And that's why we're talking about them. We'll be right back.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world, and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only five-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones and any HRT? Don't wait. Get my five-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us. 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Robert Ryan.
He is tenacious, isn't he?
Scott.
He's a brave and a decent man. He's a pioneer.
Bell.
This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Robert Scott Bell Show.
I don't know if we're elevating the level of discussion. I have to feel that we are here. And Richard Pearl, thank you for being courageous enough to tackle it with me, as well as Liam Sheff here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. And
can I get an amen?
Brother William has supposedly left the house, but here we are talking about something. And reparations came up, and this is a very heated issue. I came to out of the break thinking economic reparations are necessary for everybody. We're looking at the Wall Street sit-ins, and there are people from all races now realizing we all got ripped off. In other words, they're stealing from everybody, giving it to the banksters, the international banksters in this sense, and we're all being made poor. No matter if you think you're a homeowner, you are not a homeowner. All houses seemingly are underwater now. And as even you recognize, the banks themselves are underwater when we value them based on the loans that they're holding or mortgages that they're holding. So where do we go with this discussion of reparations? How does it interact with our perspective here?
Well, I think one of the biggest issues is that everybody feels that they're entitled to get something. And, you know, the reality is that you change culture by changing culture. You change the realities by changing yourself. And there's always enough blame to go around, particularly in poorer communities. You can always blame somebody else for, and you can become the victim. And while that may be legitimate, it doesn't help you any. At some point, you got to say, well, okay, pragmatically, staying a victim, do I win or do I lose? If I lose, then why should I stay the victim? Because ultimately, if you get something for free from the government, there's a cost involved.
Sure. You have to, you know, accept the vaccination. You know, whatever it is, there's always some kind of spring
attached. Or a lower level of living. If they give you welfare, for instance, and I'm not saying people shouldn't take it temporarily sure. or anything, but if you get welfare and that becomes a way of thinking, a way of life generationally, then you're enslaving yourself to low expectations, low opportunities. And so unless we realize, you know, look, back – going back in the 1840s, people went across Ohio out west. There were no guarantees. If we had the mindset today, there's no guarantee. There's no safety net. And if it's to be, it's up to me.
Mm-hmm. They couldn't bail out the wagon trains back then. No. I mean, it was life and death. You literally took it on yourself.
And I know it's easy for three white Jews to sit back in a room and say...
Two and two-thirds.
I know it's easy for three white guys to sit back and say, well, it should be this way or look at it this way. And I know that we're always on top, being that we've been the culture on top in North America. That said, ultimately, there are many people who are minorities who've done exceptionally well in life because they decided not to be victim. So when you talk about reparations, how do you make that work, whether it's economic or otherwise? Because if we don't have critical thinking about our power structure, instead of worrying about like this group, that group, or the next group, why don't we worry about infrastructure for the society? You know, making all the schools legitimate. Not just the schools in the wealthy districts, but all the schools legitimate. Make it so there's expectations of character. So that, you know, instead of the black leaders, instead of them worried about, you know, look how you're a victim, why don't they come out and say, instead of being the last race, why don't you be the best race? Why don't you exceed, instead of just worrying about music and sports, why don't you exceed at intellect? Why don't you exceed at finances? Why don't you exceed at sciences? Things like that.
Brother Bell, I got to come back into the room.
Brother William is back. What do you got to say, Brother
now,
William?
Now, I'm listening to Brother Pearl here. I'm taking great exception. Why don't you think about things other than sports and music? Listen.
I'm generalizing.
If you grow up in the poorest of the poor neighborhoods, and the infrastructure is crumbling, and your mother is doing drugs to keep some food on your table.
Is it drugs or prostitution?
Don't talk about my mother that way. Listen for a second.
Oh, geez.
Now, I'm trying to educate your small minds to a history that you have not participated in nor understood. Now, the bottom line is, if you grow up and you're deadly poor and you're going to look around and you have role models, in a situation in which people have been forbidden from participating in the civil society, you do not have role models rising to the level at which you can then position young people to look and admire them. You understand?
There's more role models today than ever before.
There's an historical problem. Now, I have said my piece. I'm going to let young Brother Liam back in the room.
All right, Liam. Thanks. Go ahead. Sit down again.
Hey, see you, Brother William. Good
what
to see you.
What is your interpretation of that perspective?
I totally agree with him.
Okay,
I couldn't have said it better myself. I could have said it differently.
Well, remember a few weeks back, I had a link.
What's wrong, Richard?
I'm speechless.
All right.
I totally agree with that guy.
Listen, I had a world karate champion on. He's originally from Jamaica and moved up to Canada. And his role model, because he was abused, he had a very hard life, childhood difficulty, almost abandoned, thrown around different families as such, ended up in Canada. His role model was Bruce Lee.
Right.
I was like stunned by the story because, you know, I realized I could look to a movie star or something and go, wow, that'd be cool to be like, but this is the first person I met that really didn't have within his own community, with his own nothing as far as a role model, found that guy as a movie star karate guy and became a world champion karate guy himself. It had nothing to do with the color of the skin or the guy was from China, whatever, but it didn't matter. He really strived to be something. He achieved it. It was really quite extraordinary. And again, that was to me a living example how it blows apart the bounds or the limitations of simply, well, his color of skin was the same as mine, and it was necessary for that in order for me to lift myself up.
Well, here's the thing. If we go back to Brother William for a second, if we take his logic forward, then 100 years from now, they're going to be in the same boat because they're not going to get somebody to bail them out. Nobody bails out the poor sector first. We see that currently with the wealthier taken care of. So no one's going to bail out the poor first. So it takes the poor to bail themselves out. Mm-hmm. At some point...
Oh, that's easier said than done.
Well, it's not about easy or hard. It's just a truth.
Let me actually say it's not possible.
Yeah. It is possible.
No, it's not possible.
It is possible.
Lee, why do you say it's not possible? I'm curious. No, no, it's okay. I want to know why. Yes, I want to know why you say.
This is my friend Richard. We're disagreeing.
I want to know why you say that, Lee.
Why do you say that?
It's not because the system is structured to keep some people poor. Not everybody can be equal. We're born unfree and unequal.
Well, are we talking now about the institutionalized racism?
I'm talking about look.
Class warfare.
Institutionalized class warfare.
It's class warfare.
Institutionalized class warfare, which happens to have targeted historically people of darker skin more than anybody else. That's what the European model was. We hate the Irish. We hate the Jews. We'll hate you Russians if you come here. But mostly we hate the blacks because, let's face it, they have different skin color and they have totally different religious traditions. And when it comes to being attacked, we'll take all of you European races that we hate. Mm-hmm. And but if the Muslims attack us, we're suddenly one. And then we hate the Muslim more than we hate use stupid Frenchies or use stupid Italians or use stupid Germans or whatever you think was, you know,
right,
I mean, they,
right.
And I'm saying this from the perspective of one to the other.
Sure.
I mean, the jokes, French jokes about Germans, German jokes right. about French, Dutch jokes about, on and on. I went to Denmark a number of years ago and I visited and was talking to some people and I said, oh, your language is a lot like the German, actually, a lot of the same cognates. They said, no, it's not. I said, what do you mean? Well, the German's a totally different language. I said, well, look at all the words and the language. No, 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 it's totally different. And those German tourists, they come here and they're filthy and they're dirty. And I said, yeah, but it's the history of World War II. So Africans in this country who are Americans have a different America, and we don't recognize that.
We do recognize it, but the fact is, at some point, if they are going to succeed as people individually, mm-hmm. they have to separate from surroundings. Man's Search for Meaning, which is a great book. Everybody should read it.
Who's that? Strauss? No.
No, it's a guy who was in a concentration camp.
I
can't remember his name.
Yeah.
Anyway, he became separate of his surroundings. I knew a guy years ago. I used to deliver to him in North Miami, even though I'm in Sunrise in Fort Lauderdale. But on my way back from doing one of the radio shows, I would deliver to him. He was in his 90s, and he was in a wheelchair, and he was a trapeze artist at one point. And he got in a car accident, and it crippled him, and his house burned down. So now he's in this nursing home, but he's of sound mind. He would go across the street and get raw drinks, raw food drinks, and so forth. And he was in this room with a crazy guy, and his surroundings were totally separate of his understanding of life. Yet he was oblivious to his surroundings. He was still himself. And he would, talk about Krista Murdy and many other philosophers.
Right.
And he was not of his surroundings or he mm-hmm. didn't accept that his surroundings were identifiable as him. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that
that's
most people can do it.
Consciousness, though.
Right. But, wow. but that's what you need in any society. Look, it starts. Vietnam, we ended up having a raised consciousness. We're starting to have a raised consciousness about corporatism mm-hmm. as well. So the black community should realize, or segments of the leaders, the ones who understand it more fully, instead of making it about their financial gains, instead of being hucksters, what they should be doing is saying to their people, let me show you a way to have higher consciousness. The Les Browns of the world, those are the guys that should be focused on, or the Travis Smileys or the Cornel West. Those kind of people really can elevate the black community.
Travis and Cornel are pretty political. I mean, they'll tell you about the history. Brother West will tell you about the history of the plight, and he's complicated. He's interesting. I like Cornel.
But he also holds people responsible
for their actions.
That's right. And so ultimately, if, no one says that everyone's born with the same realities. Let's face it. George Bush was born on third base and thought he hit a triple.
Right.
Right.
But the reality is not everyone has the silver spoon. Many do.
Well,
but many don't. Some people are born with one arm, one leg. Their life is different. And no matter what you give them, they're still one armed or one legged.
Yeah.
I'm not asking for reparations like you go and put money in everybody's bank account that was wronged. I'm asking the country, number one, to get out of the federal government system where we expect the federal government to do anything, to pull back to states.
It should be all states related.
It should all be states. And then you should look at state by state and say, who built what? And did your family have some stake in this? Because we'll cut you in. We'll cut you in on...
But even if you give money to somebody, let's say, if they don't know how to spend it or use it, they're going to do the same behavioral traits that they've already done. So they'll be in the same place.
Everybody's
behavior. No, but so rather than give it to individuals, have a collective purpose for it. Say, okay, we're going to rebuild the stuff. We're going to give them jobs that are meaningful. We're going to make sure that if you take these courses and you pass, there will be money for you.
Brother
or
William
something
started
like that.
With that. He talked about the educational
well,
system.
You know, listen, I look at this again. We're talking some very difficult subjects about, you know, the racial divide, so to speak. And if, you know, to Richard's point, if I'm raised as a, you know, a white family but very poor, you know, it could be Appalachia, wherever, dirt poor, and I got to divorce myself from the culture of my family that happens to be all white in order to succeed, because I'll do the same things I've been trained to
That's
do.
True.
And that supersedes the race. And then we come to consciousness, which is what I love to do, is talk and elevate that level of discussion, because ultimately is – well, this shell that we inhabit while we're on planet Earth, is that really who we are? Or is it just simply a tool to interface with the rest of the world? I talk about our epithelial lining. Our epithelium is the same damn color on the inside, right? And I also say soul is what's inside. But it takes an elevated consciousness to see past the superficiality of the book cover. That's where, you know, we're talking about making that shift. And then we realize we all come together and go, okay, are we all Americans, if we should say that?
But
what does that even mean?
I will tell you that the way the races are being played, no, we're not all Americans, unfortunately. And I would say that because we don't distinguish ourselves as Americans, we do it nationalistically, which is very dangerous.
Yeah.
But we don't do it in terms of helping each other as a citizen. We don't. We have the wealthy who think they don't have to be part of it. There's no obligatory need for them to be part of the rest of society. They got one foot out the door out of this country, and the other one's about to slip on a banana peel. So they're not really interested in the money or fixing this country. They're interested in their money, protecting it, and having the great life they have. The middle and the poor are really, it doesn't matter their color, they're in it together. And actually, there is no middle. There's just really the haves and the people who are existing and worse than existing. And what the power structure doesn't want people to realize is there shouldn't be any color issue. If there isn't a divide, then they'll focus on what the real problem is, which is corporatism.
Mm-hmm.
And the government's sole purpose to take care of the wealthy.
All right, we're going to come back on that note, corporatism, corporate welfare, talk about it in terms of what really could solve the problem. And at this point, we're going to take that break. And I would say, if you like what we're doing here, if you're disgusted by what we're doing this hour, I want to hear from you. We'll get your voice on the air. If you got something to say, call, leave a message at 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. All the links are up at robertscottbell.com. Coming right back after this.
How come I ain't got no money here? Whitey is on the moon. You know, I just about had my bill of Whitey on the moon. I think I'll send these doctor bills. Air mail special. To Whitey on the moon.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver Bioactive Silver Hydrosol is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Hi, this is the Health Ranger here, inviting you to check out the National News Store. Yes, we have an amazing store offering superfoods and other healthy food items, including kitchen appliances like Vitamix blenders and food dehydrators, nut milk bags, lots of things for anyone who's interested in leading a healthier lifestyle. And here's another cool part about it, because we have such a huge reach, millions of people a month that we're reaching who follow Natural News, we're able to get huge discounts on some really high-end superfoods and nutritional products. We offer those at ridiculously good prices on our specials page. You can find that right now at store.naturalnews.com. Just go to store.naturalnews.com and you'll see the current specials link on the left-hand column right at the top there. Click on that. You can check out the current specials. We've got superfoods at prices that are often 40 or 50% off. Check it all out at store.naturalnews.com.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Federal Reserve is printing more money, and Whitey's on the moon.
That's so old.
Yeah.
I remember that.
You remember.
The colored man is dying for oil, and Whitey's on the moon.
Well, that, you know,
Richard Pearl is in the house, and Whitey is on the moon.
That's the, well, we're no longer on the moon. Of course, that the economic bankruptcy made that impossible at this point. So that's where we go, the corporate welfare, the corporatism, where we are all literally the same color, if you want to say it like that. Where the, what is it? The color of money, right? It's all about that. And it isn't even gold and silver anymore. It's green, so to speak, or whatever other color they're going to paint on the dollar to keep it going.
And I want to say that I think the black culture in this country is in trouble because its real role models were either assassinated or forgotten. James Baldwin is forgotten. These people are forgotten. The writers, the historians are forgotten. The poets are forgotten. Nobody knows who they are. And so what you see on TV now is the same thing with the Kardashians. We're supposed to think that success is Toni Braxton having a terrible, terrible reality show where her dressed up sisters go on shopping sprees and they have little family spats. Is that success? Because what are you, you know what I'm saying? What,
well, that's mimicked in the black community. You see all the bling because white people invest in things that they can't see and black people invest in things that they must see.
Say that. See, this is an interesting point and I know people will get pissed off by it, but I would see white culture, black culture, very similar. We're all propagandized. We're all fed commercials. Bernays rules our world.
Materialism, is it not?
But white families came here, they had trust funds when they got here, or they invested at the ground floor, and yeah, they suffered, but they bought the first shares of something. That's my point. Black families were not able to do that. But you just said something. Black people are advertised stuff, so they want stuff.
Right.
They invest in stuff you can see, but
white people invest in things that they can't see.
Can't see. At least wealthy white people.
Right.
Because there are a lot of poor white people, too.
Right.
Right?
No, but the wealthy. We're talking about the ones who, or even not just the wealthy. There was a stat out earlier this year, and we're talking only like a couple months back. And I believe that the numbers were that white households, on average, had net worth. It was down from the year before, but down to $118,000 for the household. Black households were down to $5,600. Mm. So there was a 20-to-1 ratio.
Wow.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
But part of it, okay, you can blame a lot of it on culture.
History
you can blame
of
and,
race.
And history of racism. But the reality is that if you are to succeed in life, you can't keep doing what's failing you. And at some point, like
or asking your oppressors to save you.
Right. Because they're not going to save you. The oppressor will never save the oppressed. So at the end of the day, it's up to you to do something different. And unlike other periods of time, there's so much more knowledge and information available to pull yourself out. Granted, you need to have the mindset. But many people aren't the inner city. And to only recognize the inner city of black people as the black community is wrong.
I know. I totally agree.
And Brother William would agree with me.
Where is he? He's out in the green room.
Well, he brought some game here to help us in our discussion to do things that I don't know if they were. Have you ever had three white guys discussing this stuff on the radio?
White.
Probably not.
Hey, we were all oppressed people in our former.
Well, I mean, you had, what, Lithuanian-American, Iranian-American?
No, I'm not Iranian.
I know. I'm just
Jewish
throwing stuff
American.
Out.
But I was actually adopted, so I don't even know
we're
who the father
hyphenated,
was.
We're all hyphenated, right?
See, we all got our hard luck stories. I mean, right.
We've come from it. The middle class, poor middle class, whatever. But the point is, ultimately, do you rise as a group or do you rise as an individual? And of course, the group can be very ticked off when one individual leaves it.
But nobody ever held my skin color against me, at least in the power elite.
That's because the visual, the visual element, the visual difference.
So
and
I
of course,
could shoplift anywhere.
Well, it's yeah, actually, you know, it's probably store. More true in general. White people get away with more shoplifting than anyone else because they're not looked at the same way. Look, there's no question there's a divide. But again, if the leaders of the black community, the ones who do have the understanding, the ones who have already made it, if they then said, you know what, we're going to be the best race, not the last race, then everything would change because ultimately the dollar does run things. And when people see other people as equal or successful, they treat them differently.
Robert, how do we wrap this up?
I don't think we can wrap this up. So I think what we're going to do now is go into extra innings. And we have done this once before. We are going to make this available through robertscottbell.com. Those of you who are friends of mine on Facebook, I'll tweet it out, the connection, and we'll make it available through YouTube. We're going to go into extra innings. That's right. So thank you for being here. I hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And if you're really ticked off at what we did today, again,
they put me up to it. I had nothing to do with it.
You had nothing to do with it. We held you at gunpoint.
Please
here.
Write your concerns and complaints in the back of a $25 Federal Reserve note.
And send it to No Corporate Welfare Allowed Here. Listen, Richard Pearl, Simply Natural. We've got the link up at robertscottbell.com. Some of your customers are listeners to the show. So
that's
they're going
right.
to you. They're going to let you know in person if they like it or not.
I can't wait.
Be in big trouble. And, of course, all of you listening all over the world, we appreciate that. I'd love to hear you back. 866-939-BELL. Also, there's opportunity to make comments. Terry at robertscottbell.com. So thank you for being here. Until tomorrow, the power to heal is yours.
And White is on the moon.
And remember, extra innings next.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.